My dad felt so blessed to be in your homes each week to reveal God's mercy, grace, and everlasting love. Today, we resume our five-week Christmas study, Where Is He? Last week, we heard Jesus in the message of the prophets, and today, we will see Jesus in the Annunciation of Gabriel to Mary.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Always happy when the weekends come and we can all get together. And we're in a series of sermons now during this month. And last time we looked at how the wonderful prophecies and all, how that stood out in so plain as day. And now today we're going to talk about how that an angel came to Mary and talked to Mary. And so it's just thrilling. It's just beautiful. But first of all, let me read some of the letters. I just love to share these letters, and we're just so thankful for you writing and hope more of you'll continue writing. But we have a letter from Carpenter, South Dakota, and they write, "Gave my last DVD of The Heart of a Shepherd to a nursing home in Rapid City. Can I have two more, please? Thank you for your wonderful ministry." And The Heart of a Shepherd is a beautiful film we have, and it's about 52 minutes long, I think. And it talks about how that we can come to Jesus and come to the Savior and be born again. And it's a wonderful gift to give to people to be sure they know Jesus or maybe don't even know Jesus. And then and I'll give the address at the end of the service, so just get your pencil and paper ready. Here's Roseville, Minnesota. "I was surfing channels on Sunday morning a couple of years ago and came across the Christian Worship Hour. I also enjoy you reading the letters you receive on your program. You also give a little sermon in response to the letters. I learn just as much from your letters as I do from your sermons. I am a church organist in St. Paul, Minnesota, and watch your program as I'm getting ready. You and your staff seem to be one happy family. God bless you as you continue in your ministry." And we are one happy family. And we have just one paid person, and he's full-time, works all the time for us. The rest of the musicians and workers and helpers all do it without any pay, just out of the heart, the goodness of their heart. And we're coming on our 40th year, going to be our 40th year. And so this person is writing, and we try to answer the letters and give like a little sermon. If somebody has a question, we try to answer that because we think, well, maybe this person had a question, maybe somebody else has the same question or something along that line. So that's why we spend a little time with the letters. Here's one letter from Odessa, Washington. "Dear Pastor, I also remember repeating a word my father said to my mother, and she took a bar of old-time soap and put it in my mouth, and I remember it took a long time getting to that taste out of my mouth. It was terrible." And so here now, he repeats a word his father said, and his mother washed the boy's mouth out. And so these dads, those little boys are watching you, they're listening to you, and you better live in such a way you're a good example for them. But I had my mouth washed out just once, and my mother washed my mouth out, in these days, they didn't have this nice, sweet-smelling soap. Some of this soap smells so good, I think I could eat it. But where they got their soap? They made their own soap, and they made it out of lye and lard and ashes. And the lye came in a little white can, and it has skull and crossbones on it, and it had kick, it had power. And you say, well, how many times did your mother wash your mouth out? She only had to wash it once. Just one time, I remembered it. And I want you to know my mother was the most wonderful person in the whole world, but she didn't want her son. I don't even know what I said. We couldn't use slang. We couldn't say gosh or gee or darn or anything like that. And we didn't sass her either. And so I did something and I got my mouth washed out. I thank God for my mother. If it wouldn't have been for her, I know I'd have been in a drunkard's grave, just sure as the world. But she helped me and my brothers. What a wonderful, wonderful mother. And I'm anxious to see her. And so remember how we need to live here, Dad. Watch out how we live. That my mouth was washed out 90 years ago. I still remember it. And one more, I've got Sioux City, Iowa. I asked Jesus into my heart. I've asked for forgiveness of my sins. Love to you all. And so just that's the main thing we want to do. That's what we try the hardest, is to have people come to know Jesus. Now, we have no other things. We want to honor God, first of all. Everything we do and say, we want to honor God and glorify his name. And then another thing we want to do is we want to pray for the shut-ins and the people that can't get around, people that are lonely and weary and some of going through hard times. And we pray for the young people with all their decisions to make, and the children, the little children. But the main thing we want is to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And you just do that simply by saying, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll follow you the best I can. I'll turn from my sin. Thank you, Jesus." And the Bible says, "Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." It says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Don't make it hard. Just open your heart to Jesus and ask him to come into your heart. And he's wanting to come. He says, "I'm standing at the doors and I'm not. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." The door of your heart. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." He wants to come in, but he'll never come in unless you ask him. He's given us a free will, and we choose whether we're going to go to heaven or whether we'll go to hell. And that's our choice. Nobody can make it for me. I have to do it myself. And you need to know Jesus. You can pray that right now. Maybe you've never done it. Just pray it right now, and then we'll talk about it and give you some insight on how to write to us in just a few minutes. But let's look at this question. Where is he? And we see here now today, we're going to look about how he's seen in the Annunciation of Gabriel. And we've already looked at how that the prophecies and all point to Jesus. But now in this story, we see how that Gabriel comes to Mary, and he tells her, "You're going to have this child, and that's where Jesus is going to be. She's going to bring Jesus as a body, give him a body through her body." And so I want you to look, first of all, at Gabriel's message. And I want you to look at Mary's response. And then I want to close with my response. What am I going to do about this anyway? The setting of the story is in a town called Nazareth, about 70 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And it's a village that's still in existence. And in this little town of Nazareth, there dwelled a girl named Mary. Bible scholars think that maybe she was a teenager, as far as they can tell. And in that village of Nazareth, St. Luke tells us, there lived a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. In this verse, Mary is referred to as a virgin. As a matter of fact, twice in Luke's gospel, she's talked about as being this virgin. And so to this young lady, this virgin comes, there came an angel of God. And whoa-hoo, wouldn't you know? Gabriel was his name, one of the great angels of God. And so he comes, and St. Luke says, "And coming in, he said to her, 'Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you.'" Luke 1, verse 28. And if you have your Bibles, you want to follow along, you just turn to that opening chapter of Luke, because that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Gabriel calls her the favored one. The old Latin version reads "gratia plena," and that means full of grace. And it means simply that this wonderful God, in some special way, God's giving grace to Mary, because this is going to be the greatest thing in the world, the coming of the Savior. And he has picked Mary to do that. And Mary marvels at this grace of God all of her life. God has chosen her above all the maidens of Israel that they ever had. As long as they had women in Israel, they were always hoping they could be the one that would bring forth the Messiah. But this Mary, here she is, this wonderful Savior, going to come through her. She's going to bring that body. So he has a body, a sinless body. It was a dream of every girl in history, and Israel's history, that maybe she would be the one through whom the Messiah would come. And ever since, if they have that promise in the book of Genesis that they're going to be the seed of the woman, this is going to be the seed of the woman. There's going to only be one in all of eternity, of all time. Everybody's a seed of a man except this Messiah, going to be the seed of a woman. And they pray that they maybe God would choose them. And here it is, God has made the choice. And this beautiful, pure young girl, someone has called her the Moss Rose of Israel. And so there stands the great angel of God. And there sitting and trembling is this pure girl, this little young girl, just been daydreaming of her husband. She's going to be married. And legally, they were married, but they weren't together for a year. And she's thinking of her home, how she's going to have her home, dreaming about this. And there's this angel stands before her. And the Mary becomes greatly troubled at this statement. And this is what he says. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Oh, Mary is amazed, and Mary is thrilled. Gabriel says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." You call him the Savior, call him the Messiah. Hallelujah. He will be great. And right there we could stop, and you could preach for 6 months on the greatness of Jesus Christ. But Gabriel says, he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God, God himself. You cannot get any higher than that. Rejoice, the Son of the Most High loves us and is going to die for us. And so we rejoice because that's the wonderful story of Christmas. We have a Savior coming and he's going to be a sacrifice for us. And he's going to make the way so that we can get rid of our sins and we can have a heaven for our home. Oh, rejoice, of course rejoice. The Son of God is coming. Gabriel then goes on. He says, "The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Luke chapter 1, verse 32. So Mary carries the bloodline of David. Joseph carries the legal title of David. And when you put them together, you have Jesus Christ, and he is the only rightful heir to David's throne. Only Jesus Christ. No one can fit the picture. No one could come in. Jesus is on the throne in heaven today, and one day he's going to come back literally, and he's going to sit upon David's throne in Jerusalem. And that's not just a spiritual or political throne. It is a literal, material, actual throne of David. And he's going to come and sit on that throne, and then of his kingdom was going to go on. Gabriel says, his kingdom will never end. Be no end to it. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're part of that kingdom. That kingdom will last forever. Friend, you better sit up and take notice right away. You need this. This is going to happen. And this kingdom you will have no end, and you can be a part of it. But you have to volunteer. God doesn't put a gun to your head and make you do it. He knocks at your heart's door. He'll speak to your heart. There'll be something. And you know, when I accepted Jesus, I was 10 years old. I didn't hear any voices and I didn't see any lights. I just knew I needed Jesus. I wanted Jesus. And 10 years old, I knelt down at a bench in our old country school where the evangelist was preaching. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And he's been there 87 years. And he'll never leave me. Thy kingdom will have I'll have no end. And I want to be a part of that kingdom. I want to rule and reign with Christ. And I can. He will take me. Mary can scarcely believe her ears. She can scarcely believe her eyes. An angel standing there. An angel telling her that she's going to have a baby. And that naive, gentle, pure young thing said, "Have a baby? How can I have a baby? I'm not married. How can this be? I know not a man." The New International Version has it, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" This question has been asked by skeptics for ages. How can a virgin be with child? And so they doubt the virgin birth. They refuse to believe the virgin birth. They make fun of it and they discard it outright. Mary was not doing that at all. She was just wondering. She wasn't doubting God. She was just saying, God, how can this be? I'm not married. I haven't been with a man. How can I become pregnant without a man? Let me tell you something, dear friend. Mary was a virgin and she became pregnant without a man. I can tell you that right to your face right now. We call that a miracle. And a miracle it is. And I want to tell you something else while we're at it. The Bible is filled with miracles. The parting of the Red Sea, the swallowing of Jonah by a giant fish, the feeding of the 5,000, the healing of the 10 lepers, the restoration of the deaf mute's ears, the opening of the eyes of the stone blind man at Bethesda, the liberation of the paralyzed man who picked up his bed and walked, the healing of the sick man at the pool of Bethesda, the walking on the water and the calming of the tempest by Jesus, the raising of Lazarus after he was dead for 4 days. Miracles, miracles, the Bible is full of them. And unless you believe them, you're going to die in your sins. There's no way around it. You take God and believe God, or you trash him and you'll have a Christless eternity, and God have mercy on your soul. At the teaching of the new birth, the rabbi Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Well, the answer is plain and the answer is simple. God Almighty, power of God, period. No problem with that. So don't get hung up on the virgin birth. It's just a number of multitudes, one of a number of multitudes. And as a matter of fact, the beginning of the world is a miracle by the hand of God, a miracle in itself. It's just by the word of God and the speaking of God, everything is brought into existence. So Gabriel answers the poor little questioning girl. Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid, Mary. And let's stop just a minute here and say this. Don't be afraid. Fear not. God is saying that to us today. He's telling all of his people in the persecuted church and those of you that are lonely, so many are lonely. Don't be afraid. He doesn't want us to fear of be afraid of tomorrow. He doesn't want us to fear old age. He doesn't want you young people to fear the decisions of life that you have to make. He'll guide you and direct you. He doesn't want you to fear the future. He's always whispering all the time, fear not. Just don't be afraid. God is so kind and loving to his people. I can tell you after 87 years, he has been so good to me. And I don't deserve a thing. Not one thing do I deserve. And I failed him, but he's never failed me. And every time I fail him, I come back and ask him to forgive me. And it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I come to him and I tell him I'm sorry. And then I fail again. And you say, oh, how many times you failed? 10 times, maybe 10,000. I don't know. All I know is that God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. My salvation is greater than all of your sins. And as long as you mean it in your heart and soul, you fail because the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Just go to Jesus. Kindly, gently, Gabriel explains then to Mary. She says, how can I have a child without a husband, without a man? And in verse 35, he says, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. By the way, that's the 35th verse, Luke 1:35. There you have the Trinity. You birds that worry about the Trinity, you can't understand the Trinity. You never will until maybe in heaven. How are you going to understand God? Who do you think you are with a little pea brain or whatever you got? I don't know what you got, but you're challenging God. Now, the Trinity, it's right here. The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. That's God the Spirit. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee, God the Father. The holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's God the Son. And so the Trinity, it stands. Then Gabriel goes on to tell Mary, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. 1 Luke 1:36-37. Now look at the beauty of Mary, that young girl. What does she say? And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy will. And the angel departed from her. Look at Mary's response then in closing. Let's just see if, look at her response. She says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it acceptable of me according to thy word. One simple question she asked, and then she says, how can this be that I don't know a man? And when that's explained, it's God's going to do it. There is no more doubt in her mind. She never questions God, not for a moment. In a beautiful and simple, pure wonderment, she says, God, how can God do it? I know God can do it. I know there's no question about it. I know that I don't have to worry. It's a wonder of wonders, but my God is a God of wonders. And her response is positive. God has her completely, soul, body, and spirit, and it's all totally given to Jesus, given to God. So what is my decision when I read this story? What is your decision? What am I going to do with Jesus Christ? Am I going to be open to him no matter what? Am I going to believe God no matter what? Am I going to live for Jesus no matter what? Am I going to give my time and my tithe and my talents no matter what? Am I going to be like Mary and give myself to God with no reservations? Friend, that's what God wants. We have to give completely surrender to this wonderful God. And it was that was the thing that Mary did. And she had some hard times to come. She had a lot of sorrow and a lot of suffering, but she stood it, and in the end, it was worth it all. Think of Mary's sorrow. Think of the old gossipers in town. She's pregnant. She's not married. Doesn't have a husband. Won't they have a heyday, the dirty things? The questioning of Joseph, the misunderstanding all her life. And even later on, they would say, some of the old smart, wise, holy guys, they says, we weren't born in fornication, implying that Jesus was. That followed her all her life. And think of her when she stood there and they saw all the mob crawling, crucify him, crucify him. Think of Mary's sorrow when she stood by the cross and she saw her son agonizing in pain on that cross. Think of the shame of the cross. Think of Mary, and finally Jesus from the cross tells John, that's going to be your mother. You take care of my mother. In his death, he thought about his mother. Yes, old Simeon was right. He took the baby and to bless the baby, put him in the arms, and he stood on the temple steps and held the baby. And to Mary, this is what the old Simeon said, a sword shall pierce thy own soul. It cost Mary a lot to follow Jesus, but I'm going to tell you, it pays. Forever Mary will be honored as being the mother of our Lord. Forever the martyrs will be honored for standing up to him to the last moment and dying for Christ's sake. Yes, God tells us that that's what he wants us to do. So where is he? He's in the message of the Old Testament prophets. He's in the Annunciation of Gabriel. He's in the Song of the Angels. He's in the manger of Bethlehem. But the big, big question is, where is he in your life? Is he in your life, or you just talk about him, or hear, maybe you even admire Jesus? But is he in your heart, in your life? Is it that point where you're like Mary has said, God, you can have everything I got. I'll never question you. He will never come into your heart unless you ask him in. He'll never knock you down and make you accept him. He'll knock gently on the door. And he's talking about millions of people, maybe millions of people right now. He wants to come into your heart. And then you just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart, take away my sins. I'll turn from my sins the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And you're going to fail because nobody's perfect. And you're going to fail. You're going to make your mistakes. When you do, you just go to Jesus. And he says, if we confess our sins, he'll forgive us. And just be sure that your heart. See, that's what he told about David. He's a man after my own heart. And so if you accept Jesus and you write to us, and if you want to have that film or you want to have that about little brochure or the Bible study, write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And we ask you to pray for us and to pray for this ministry. And we ask you to ask God if you should support this. Just ask God if you should help us. And he'll tell you if he wants you to do or not. And you do what God says. And if you do, we'll have enough. We'll always have enough to do what God calls us to do. And you can send a gift over ChristianWorshipHour.com from anywhere in the world. We get gifts in different parts of the world. Help us in the work. And if and when you give, you can say, well, I don't know how he'll spend it. I wonder what he'll do with it. We are a member of an international organization, the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They check every last penny. And so it's all safe. So now I want to pray. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Syria. So, dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the persecuted church in Syria. Then we'd help us to be just like those dear brothers and sisters, willing to give our life, never willing, not willing to back up ever, but always to follow you. Lord, we pray for those on beds of sickness. We pray for those who are alone. They're a lot of lonely people, but they're not alone. You are there with them, and we're our lovers with them. And dear Lord, I pray for the young people. Precious young people making lifelong decisions, guide them and direct them. And the precious children, be with them. Lord, help them to open their heart. And then, oh God, we pray that in all we do and say, we'll be like Mary. Do unto me as you wish, dear Lord. Do as unto me whatever you want. I'm willing to do that. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, all you shortwave people, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Don't forget that God loves you in all of your sins. He hates your sins, but he loves your soul. He wants you to come. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. I can tell you for all the people, we have 50, 60 people helping us, volunteers, and they're praying for you and they love you. And God knows I love you, and I just am sorry I can't do a better job when I bring the message, but I can give you the Word of God, and that's where the power is. The power isn't in my Word, it's in God's Word, and He's going to have the last Word, and God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.